Lake Superior is a wonderful natural resource, and its shoreline is studded with beautiful things to look at and visit. Well, today we're going to talk about one of them. I'm John Munson, in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. A very popular winter attraction in Wisconsin, the ice caves at the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore. We'll talk about the appeal of those formations in this half hour of our 6 o'clock hour here on the Ideas Network. And my guest is Bob Krumenacher, superintendent of the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore. Bob, good to talk to you again.
Good morning, John. A delight to be on so early on a Friday morning.
Well, I know how you love getting up early, so, you know.
Well, Friday mornings are much better than Monday mornings.
Well, good. Well, Fridays are always better than Mondays. I mean, yeah. That's just part of it. So, the ice caves, in the last 5 or 6 years, they haven't always been accessible. We've had such warm winters, but this year we have been blessed with the kind of weather that makes it possible for us to get to them. You've had a lot of traffic up there.
We sure have. It's 2009 was the last year the ice caves were accessible, and this is one of the benefits of the polar vortex. People haven't really been talking that context, but obviously it's been cold. The ice formed early, and it formed solidly near the caves and around at least the inner Apostle Islands. So we were able to open the caves about 2 weeks ago now, which is the earliest in anybody's memory, and people have been coming out in droves.
So for those who don't know where these caves are, or maybe have missed on the map where the Apostle Islands are, tell us a little bit, give us some context. These caves are where?
Well, let me start with the Apostle Islands. The Apostle Islands National Lakeshore is the only national park fully within the state of Wisconsin. We are the northernmost landscape of the state. There are 21 of the 22 islands off the Bayfield Peninsula are part of the National Lakeshore, but these caves are part of what we call the mainland unit. There's a 12-mile strip of land that is part of the National Lakeshore that is very close to the northernmost land on the mainland of the state of Wisconsin. It's about 3 miles east of Cornucopia, about 18 miles west of Bayfield, Wisconsin, and all along Highway 13 from either route. And then there's a small quarter-mile turnoff to the north, a little brown sign that says Apostle Islands National Lakeshore, Myers Beach, marks that turnoff. And that's the most popular place for people to kayak in this park in the summertime.
Yeah, I was going to say, in the summertime, people kayak into those caves. So the caves are obviously formed by the have been formed over the eons by the wave action on the lake. And what are the caves like?
Well, they're billion-year-old sandstone. Actually, a billion years is a very old rock, particularly one that's not been changed very much. These are flat-lying sedimentary rocks. They're red rocks, and sometimes people say that looking at the cliff formations that the caves are formed from reminds them of being in the canyon country of southern Utah, except this blue expanse at the bottom doesn't match southern Utah terribly well.
And it's probably a little warmer in southern Utah.
Yes, although I worked there early in my career, and they can get winter, but I don't think they get anything quite like this. We have had extremely cold temperatures, as you know. It's been well below zero most nights. We'll talk a little bit about safety going to the caves in a few minutes, but the caves basically are indentations in the rocks. It's a very beautiful variegated pattern in those rocks, and essentially, people, when they think of caves, they think of things that are often completely dark, miles deep, very hazardous. These are small caves. From the definition that the National Park Service uses for a cave is 50 feet deep. So we have a number of 50-foot deep caves, a few that are several hundred feet deep, and a few that aren't technically caves that are just small indentations. But essentially, you're looking at, as you said earlier, the wave cut patterns in these rocks. There's a lot of undercutting, and therefore, whether you're in a kayak or you're standing on clear ice, you can get underneath the rock. And what makes these ice caves very unique is that there are a lot of seeps in the land that's above. So there's water that flows down slowly. There's no waterfalls, but there's water that flows down slowly. And so the rocks are encrusted with ice, but the formations that the ice forms are exactly the same sorts of things that you would find in an underground cave, Carlsbad Caverns or Mammoth Cave or any of those famous places.
Without the bats.
Without the bats, especially this time of year. So we see stalactites, and we see pipes hanging down, and we see hoarfrost crystals and what they call popcorn and curtains. And anyone who's a caver or a spelunker, thank you, would recognize these formations. But instead of those taking thousands of years to form, these takes days and weeks, and then they disappear equally fast.
So are these caves accessible to everyone?
Everyone who's got the hardiness to go out in these winter conditions, and that's a critical thing. Going out, walking on ice of Lake Superior is not something people should take lightly. We don't think it's so hazardous that people can't do it, but you've got very, very cold air conditions, and particularly in the last week or so, considerable winds from the west and northwest, and so people need to be extremely well prepared for cold, frostbite, and on the occasional sunny day, sunscreen's actually a good idea, too. But the lake ice is checked on a every few day basis by qualified park rangers, and so we're pretty confident that the surface that you're walking on, even though it may be very scary to some to walk on the ice of Lake Superior, we believe that that's walkable, and anyone who's physically fit can do it.
But it is a hike. I mean, you go out from Myers Beach. That's the most common way for people to get to the caves. And you've got, what, a mile or so? Or how far is it from where you would walk onto the lake to the caves?
Well, it's a little over a mile from the trailhead, shall we speak, the steps that are at the head of the lake that you would go down to launch your kayak in at the beach. Little over a mile, and it's snow-covered. Right now, it's hard-packed snow, but any time we have a change in weather, the condition of that trail can change. It's not really a trail. It's just a very well-trod path right now. The first part of it, you're actually on the beach, snow-covered. You really can't tell it's the beach. And then about two-thirds of the way, maybe halfway or two-thirds of the way, it crosses over a little ridge of ice, and it's apparent that you're actually on Lake Superior at that stage. All along, you're walking parallel to the shoreline. You never get terribly far from the edge of the lake. So there have been a few media reports that imply that you're walking straight out perpendicular to the shore for a mile or two, and that's not the case. Mm-hmm. But the caves themselves don't have a sign that say, you are here, turn around now. Rarely do people get to the beginning of the most scenic part and then suddenly decide to turn around. So you can go for a few more feet, or you can go for another mile or two. It's really up to the individual how far they go. So the minimum round trip would be a little more than 2 miles, and that assumes that you get a parking space right near the trailhead. And one thing that I should advise folks is the weekends have been exceptionally busy. Get there early, and you'll have to park hopefully close by, but the last two weekends we've had folks parking on both sides of the entrance road all the way out to Highway 13, and it's been so overflowing that people have been parking on Highway 13. And we really want people to be very cautious and very careful about traffic, and we've got a lot of park rangers and volunteers out there that will assist in parking. But the length of your hike depends on how far from the trailhead you end up parking, so it could be longer than most people think.
We're talking with Bob Krumenacker, who's the superintendent of the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore, one of five national parks around the greatest of the Great Lakes, Lake Superior, the only one that's completely within Wisconsin. We're talking about the ice caves, and we'll continue our conversation with Bob in just a moment. We'd like to hear from you. Have you been to the ice caves? Have you, what did you like? And what was it like? What advice, based on your experience, would you have for those who want to go visit the ice caves? We'll get that conversation restarted after we take a short break. 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. You can also send an email, talk@wpr.org, or you can Join us on Facebook. Look for the Joy Cardine program and leave a comment or question there. I'm John Munson, in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of WPR. The ice caves along the south shore of Lake Superior, Wisconsin's north coast, part of the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore, something beautiful to go and see in the wintertime. Not always accessible. This year they are. We're talking about them with Bob Krumenacher, superintendent of the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore. And Bob, we have a phone call. Let's take that before we continue on. Michael is with us in Pigeon Falls. Michael, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, I was just, I've been thinking about going up there, and I've been talking to a few people, and I understand you go like up by Cornucopia, and one of my friends said you should take a snowmobile up there, and I was just wondering if that's something that's a good idea, or with all the foot traffic, and is the lake accessible to use a snowmobile to check it out, or what's the story on that?
Michael, I'm glad you asked that question. Snowmobiles are not the way to visit the ice caves. It's really an intrusion on the pedestrians. We're looking at 1,000 or so people, maybe 2,000 people a day on the weekends. But more importantly, snowmobiles are not permitted in that part of the National Lakeshore. So you're welcome to snowmobile elsewhere on the ice if you believe that that's worth doing and safe, but not near the caves, please.
Michael, thanks. Thanks for that. We have Gary Knowles, who I know you know, Bob, is our state travel expert at WPR, and knew we were going to talk about the caves. He's been there many times, so he sent me some tips. Let's see, wear warm boots. Well, I think I figured that one out. But you know, thanks, Gary.
And warm socks, frankly.
And, well, and probably more than one pair.
Absolutely, I don't underestimate how cold the surface is. That
yeah, I recommend smart wool. I think. Here's something that most people don't think about until it's too late. There are no restrooms between Myers Beach and, well, actually the ones at Myers Beach are locked, aren't they?
No, they're open.
Okay. But there's nothing between there and the caves.
No, there's not. There's no facilities at all. Let me talk a little bit about those restrooms. They're actually vault toilets. There's no heat. There's no running water. But there is a place to do your business. I have to tell you, one of the unexpected things about the volume of people that we've seen is that even though we pump those restrooms every fall so they're ready for the following summer, those vaults are starting to fill up. So probably starting next week, we're going to have some porta potties out there as well. So it's always best to do your business beforehand, but there is a place to do it right there.
Well, the word to the wise is limit your coffee intake before you start this hike.
I find what I like to do is have a warm thermos of coffee in the car waiting for me when I get back.
Sounds like a good plan. And Gary also recommends carrying a good-sized flashlight. It'll be nice to have inside the sea caves and can help light them for photos.
That's a great idea. The light varies a lot. It's been a fairly cloudy winter, but there are some times when the sun peaks out, and actually Sunday's supposed to be fairly sunny this weekend, where the light can be great, and you can get these wonderful shots of the sun glinting off the ice. But the flashlight's a good idea, and frankly, pay very close attention to what time of day you're going out. I concluded a trip to the ice caves on Wednesday this week, actually with a WPR reporter, got back to the trailhead about 4:30, was talking to a couple that was going out at 4:45, and I said, do you know what time sunset is? Which was about 5:15 that day. And they did not, and there's no one out there to rescue you if you get stuck out there too late. So flashlight, I mean, be prepared for the worst, and hopefully you don't run into that.
And Gary says, don't wake the bear.
There is probably no bear there. So
Gary was having a little fun with us.
Let me add a few other things, though, John. Bring water. People don't think about hydrating in the wintertime. Rarely do you actually feel thirsty, but usually you're breathing through your mouth in the winter, and it's really quite dry air and fair amount of exertion, too. So having a small water bottle for each person is a really good idea. I also highly recommend a scarf or a balaclava or something that can cover almost your entire face, particularly the winds. I'm looking at the forecast right now, and on Saturday we're looking at 10-knot winds, on Sunday 15-knot winds. Both days the direction is west or southwest, which is right in your face as you're coming back from the caves. People tend to be really high-spirited, but they're often pretty cold on the way back, and especially young children.
800-642-1234, talk at WPR.org. A couple of good ways to join us this morning. Speaking of phone numbers, I understand there's an ice cave hotline. In fact, I'm looking at the number right here. You can get the official ice condition report from the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore. And I'll give you that number, and I think we'll also have it up on the Joy Cardine Facebook page. That was a hint to my producers. 715-779-3397, and then it's extension 3. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay, 715-779-3397, extension 3. They'll get, what, a pre-recorded message?
They will, and we update that when conditions change. One of the things we've learned this winter with the conditions being as cold as they have been is that the ice cave line is just your first piece of information, but it's not all that you need to know. The ice cave line basically says the ice caves are accessible or the ice caves are closed. Right now, if you called it up, we would say they are accessible. We tend not to use the word safe because it's never completely safe to go out on Lake Superior. But when they're accessible, we think it's safe enough. And there are, on the weekends, as I said, there are rangers around who can help. One of the things that we might also recommend to people is to get a really good up-to-date weather forecast. And if they go to the National Parks website, which is www.nps.gov/APIS, and that's the first two letters of Apostles and the first two letters of Islands, and then follow the links to the mainland sea caves, which is fairly easy to find, you'll see a link to what we call a spot weather forecast of the National Weather Service, and that will tell you what the latest weather service forecast is for the exact location of the caves. Pay attention to the temperatures and pay attention to the winds.
Donna in Ladysmith wants to join us because she's been to the caves. Donna, thanks for joining us. What was your experience like?
Oh, it's just beyond words. It's so beautiful. I would suggest that people layer it because as you're walking, you know, the wind at your back, you think it's really warm. I mean, it's not so cold. You don't notice it, like when you turn and walk into the wind. So you have extreme differences there. So be sure that as you start out and the wind is at your back, you're thinking, oh, this isn't so bad. Maybe I can leave my scarf or my face mask in the car. Just realize that when you turn and come back with that wind against you, you're going to want that scarf and that face mask. Couple other things. They do make, I don't know what it's called, but like ice grippers for the bottom of your boots.
Yak tracks.
When you actually get to the cave, I had on my snow pants, which are that slippery material. It's kind of difficult to, if you want to crawl up in there for pictures. If you have the ice grippers on the bottom of your boots to put on when you're actually out there, you get better traction for getting up for some pictures or seeing some of the, you know, the hoarfrost or actually getting into seeing some of those just very unique, awesome formations. Some people brought ski poles just to give them a little more stability when they got into the caves themselves, mm-hmm. and they said that that helped them a lot, too, when they got out there.
Okay. Donna, thanks a lot. We have to go. We're almost out of time. Bob, anything we haven't mentioned yet that you really want people to know about?
I think we covered it, John. This is a great experience, and because of the climate change on Lake Superior, the increasing temperatures, and overall the decreasing ice despite this year, get it now while you can. This is really an endangered national park experience.
Yeah, how much, I know that it's really difficult to predict this, but based on the kind of winter that we've had, how late do you think that they're going to be accessible? Any idea?
It really is impossible to say. I would say it's a good bet it'll be several weeks. It might even be through most of February. But we're watching the ice pack really closely, and it is not totally frozen between the ice caves and the North Shore. And in fact, that because of that big wind we've been having, that ice pack has actually gotten a little bit closer to the caves. So big winds for a couple days could break up all the ice. I don't think that'll happen, but it could happen at any time.
So it's always best to call before you go, and if you could go on a weekday, you'd probably have a little easier time parking.
Absolutely, and you would not have quite the festive crowd experience, but you might enjoy it a little bit more because it'll be more
solid. And Gary says after you get done at the ice caves, go try out the ice road between Bayfield and Madeline Island if you're really adventurous.
Well, if that's what people want to do, that's not our responsibility.
Yeah, I know.
Cool. It is.
I've never been able to get my wife to go on the ice road.
Bob, frankly, and I live in Bayfield.
Okay, well, good. Bob, thanks so much. Always great to talk to you.
Thank you, John. Appreciate being on.
Bob Krumenacher is the superintendent of the Apostle Islands National Lakeshore, and he joined us this morning from the headquarters up there in Bayfield and talking about our ice caves. Thanks so much, Bob, for joining us. We're going to take a break. We'll check the news when we come back. We'll have our Wisconsin Life segment, and then we'll talk with Stephanie Klett, Wisconsin Secretary of Tourism. I'm John Munson, in for Joy Cardine on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.